Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And welcome back, dear ones. Thank you so much for your prayers. And the trouble seemed to be with the modem that our internet service provider had given us. And so that has been replaced. And just replaced this morning, so hopefully that will solve all the intermittent problems that seem to occur late Friday afternoon. It would be fine all week, but come Friday afternoon, for some reason, there was a problem, and I think we know why it would occur then. But anyways, we appreciate your prayers and concerns, and praise the Lord that we're able to meet together and to worship and praise His holy name in spirit and in truth. Our opening song for this evening is When We All Get to Heaven, and you can find the lyrics for this wonderful hymn on our website under the home church section, and then under music and hymns. So when we all get to heaven. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And what a day that will be. when our Lord Christ Jesus we shall see never to part again. And indeed we'll be able to walk through those pearly gates into the city of God. And all the pain and suffering and persecution and whatever tribulation we went through on the earth will seem like nothing compared to being in the presence of our Lord. So hold fast, dear ones. O brother, O sister, remain faithful. And soon we'll see our Lord coming in the clouds of heaven. So, good evening, one and all. It's time for opening prayer, so let us please bow our knees and our heads as we come before the throne of grace. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine protection, for your watchful care. We thank you for being in control of all things and that we can come to you in any time of need. Thank you for being there for us. And I pray, Father, that your presence will be here with us. We pray, dear Savior, that your presence will be here as well, and dear Spirit, that you will open our minds and understandings and help us to behold wondrous things out of your word of truth. We thank you, Father, that we're a day closer to heaven. And please help us to also be a day closer to representing our Lord Jesus Christ in character, in word, thought, deed, and action, so that individuals can say that after we have been with them, that they have seen Jesus and not ourselves. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome, one and all. And we're in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 12 is where we'll begin tonight. And we left off with Paul reminding God's followers that God does not respect persons. So regardless of whether you're a Jew or Gentile, regardless of your length of time in the truth or lack thereof, God doesn't take those issues into consideration. What he takes into consideration is the heart. So those that have more truth given to them have more responsibility to follow that truth, and thus their heart needs to be that much more dedicated to God because there is so much more light to follow. Whereas those who haven't had very much light don't have that much responsibility compared to those that have been years in the faith. But still, they have to live up to the little bit of light that they have. And that, of course, involves the heart. So God's concern is with the heart of people. He doesn't care what their nationality is, the skin color. He doesn't care how long they've been in the faith. What he cares about is the heart. Are they putting on a pretense? Or are they honestly wanting to follow the truth because they love it? And thus love the author of truth, which is Jesus Christ. So that was what Paul was talking about when we ended last time, and now we'll pick it up at verse 12 of chapter 2 of Romans. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So Paul here continues with the theme that God is no respecter of persons. And so those that have never heard about God's law, but have still gone against their conscience, gone against the prickings of the Holy Spirit, and done what they knew to be wrong, at least morally, will be judged by that wrong that they knowingly committed. So they will be judged by the sins that they've committed, knowingly committed. Whereas those that knew about God's law and still chose to break it will be judged by the law that they broke. So it's not the hearers of the law that are justified before God, but it's the doers of the law that will be justified. Now, it's interesting here. A lot of those evangelicals and modern Christians don't want to hear about God's law because they believe it's been done away with. It's been nailed to the cross. And so they cry, faith alone, faith alone. Works don't matter. And they like to go to Paul's writings quite a bit because Paul talks about being justified by faith. And they dwell on those passages. But here, Paul brings up the point that it's not the hearers of the law that God will justify, but the doers of the law. That's works. So when individuals use Paul's writings to try and bring out the fact that we're justified by faith without the deeds of the law, you can then point them in Paul's writings where he brings up the opposite side and says that it's not those that hear the law that God will justify, but those who keep the law, that are doers of the law. So it's not just enough to know that you're not to steal from others. You must choose not to steal, be a doer of that law, of that commandment, and then God will justify you as being righteous. And that's what a lot of people don't want to accept, is that they have to keep God's law in order to be righteous or justified. They want to continue sinning. They don't want this restriction on their life. They want to do whatever feels good, and they don't care whether it breaks God's law or not. And yet, they want to avoid being condemned and lost and burned in the lake of fire. And so they grab hold of the fact that it's by faith alone that we're justified. They don't want to hear about sanctification or the doing of righteousness. They just want by faith alone that they're righteous without keeping of the law. And so here you can bring them face to face with the reality that faith alone is dead. But faith and works combined with the grace and strength of the Lord Jesus is life everlasting. And this is from Paul's writings. So they'll find it very difficult to try and pass off like they do some of the other passages. Amen. Amen. Faith without works is dead. And amen. A dead faith is because of dead works. But when Christ Jesus is accepted into the life, then you have the grace and the strength to be a doer of the law. Not just a hearer, but a keeper of God's commandments. And thus, you have the promise that God will justify you. And that means everything to the Christian. To be made righteous in Christ, justified, means everything to the Christian. Are there any thoughts or comments before we continue?
Good evening, everyone. It's such a blessing to be with you all. I've been looking forward to this night and all the nights and days we get together. But I just had a thought about that. I had read in a real good book on sanctification by that man I told you about in the past, Andrew Murray, that those dead works being the works of self, going through the motions of self-effort, of, you know, self kind of doing God's will, selfishly motivated, selfishly inclined, and doing what they wanted to do, not all of it, but the parts that they were willing to do, because self was on the throne of the heart rather than Christ. So self was guiding and directing and leading and stroking itself that it's doing this and this and this and this, what it wants to do, what it's willing to do, and, you know, just overlooking the rest. And I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense. The works of the law is somebody just, you know, performing the measure of the law that they are willing to do, because God's not on the throne, but they are, and all the motivation is still wrong. It's still self. So anyway, I thought that kind of seemed to apply here to this. So, of course, if you're not doing God's will, then if you're doing self wants, you're doing self-will rather than doing, laying it all out, dying to self, mortifying selfishness, and letting God direct and take up the life and bring what he has for you, for us to do. So anyway, praise God. So wonderful to be with you all.
Amen. It's good to have you with us too, dear sister. And that's true, because if you're trying to keep God's law without love being the motivating factor, you want to please God because you love him, then it's going to accomplish nothing, because it's not being done in faith. It's not being done through the right motive. There's going to be two classes, two groups of people in the end of time. Those who love the truth because they love the author, which is Jesus Christ. And those who do not love the truth because they love falsehood instead, and thus its author, which is Lucifer. So, the bottom line is going to be who you love. If you love God, then you will keep his commandments out of respect for him, out of appreciation for what he's done for you, and thus you want to please him in return, out of love. If you don't love God, but you love self, or Lucifer, the author of self, then you will do what pleases him and not what pleases God. So, it's not going to be those who know about God's law and who can recite it from memory, all Ten Commandments. It's going to be those who perform that law out of love for God. The scribes and the Pharisees could quote from memory God's Ten Commandments, but they weren't keeping the morality of the law. They were keeping the letter of the law, but they forgot what the motive of that law is. And that motive is love. if they loved God, they would have loved Jesus Christ, which came from God. And thus they would have accepted him as the Messiah. And he would have cleansed all of the self-righteousness out of their hearts. And thus they could have kept all of God's law in every aspect. So it's not just those who keep the letter of the law, but it's those who from the correct motive keep God's law that will be justified. So who do you love? And who are you going to obey from love? That's going to divide the entire world into two different camps. And may God help us in all areas to show our love for God. And the highest form of love is obedience. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Continuing, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, or are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. So Paul brings up the fact that the Gentiles may not even know about God's Ten Commandments, but when they follow the morality contained in God's law, because their conscience or the Holy Spirit is leading them to do good and not to do evil, then they are basically in a group all by themselves. They don't know about God's law, but they're performing it naturally because God's law, through their conscience, the Holy Spirit, is written in their hearts. A baby doesn't know about God's Ten Commandments, and yet from a very early age, even before they're a year old, they can know the difference between right and wrong. Those who are parents know what I'm talking about. You can tell your baby, no, don't do that. And there comes a point in time in which that child understands what no means, and they have a choice to make. Do they follow their parents' restriction, or do they disobey their parents because they want to do their own will? When that child chooses to obey its parents without knowing God's law, the Spirit, through their conscience, is leading them, writing God's law, honor your father and your mother, in their hearts at a very early age. So that child is showing the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness. And this is before they know God's Ten Commandments. So Paul brings up this aspect and points it to the Gentiles, to the unbelievers, to the heathen, and brings up the aspect that even they can have God's law written in their hearts and minds through the Spirit working upon their conscience, and thus bringing morality into their lives. and praise God for giving us a conscience that the Holy Spirit can utilize in preventing us from doing evil, breaking God's law, even though we may not recognize we're doing so. Praise God for the Holy Spirit being given us to lead and guide us into all truth. If there was no Holy Spirit, just the Father and the Son, we would all be hopelessly lost. Because the Spirit pricks our hearts when we're thinking of doing wrong, before we do it, he's there to try and put a stop to it and to lead us the other direction, to lead us upward. So the Gentiles that do not know about God's law reveal that when they keep God's law without knowing they're keeping it, they show that the Spirit has written God's law in their hearts. Continuing. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So here we see that the Spirit uses their conscience dealing with their thoughts to either accuse them or tell them, hey, you're going to do something wrong, don't do it. Or excusing, in other words, what you're doing is proper, go for it. Continuing, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge, and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Now, Paul here is going beyond just the letter of the law. He's not just saying, do you take money from others and steal? But he's bringing up the broader aspect of the commandments. Are you doing anything that is robbing another? You can take glory to yourself that belongs to another, and you've broken the commandment, thou shalt not steal. You didn't take any money physically from him or any of his property, but you took away his influence. You've stolen from him. So Paul here is bringing up the broader aspect of the law, not just the letter, but the knowledge of the truth. You tell others not to steal, are you yourself stealing in any aspect? Verse 22, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Are you worshiping or loving anything above God? Putting that thing first in your life instead of God? Verse 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? So Paul now brings up an aspect that many Christians do not recognize. God is the author of the Ten Commandments. In keeping those commandments, you are honoring God. It's His law. So in keeping His law, you're honoring Him. But the opposite is also true. If you break any of those commandments, you would not be honoring God. You would instead be dishonoring Him. And if you're dishonoring God, then you would be honoring someone else. You would be honoring the author of disobedience. Amen, which is the devil. So again, we see that there's only two groups in the end of time. Those that honor God by keeping His commandments, and those who dishonor God by following the devil, not keeping God's commandments. There's not a third group. There's only two in the end times. Those who love God and keep His commandments versus those who love the devil and break God's commandments. And if we dishonor God, what is that going to lead us to? It's going to lead us to give the wrong example of Christianity to others. And it's going to lead them to give up God. Verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Referring to those who know the law of God but are not keeping the law. So if we choose to break God's commandments, then those that are watching us are going to be led to do the same. And thus, instead of God being honored, He's going to be blasphemed. May God help us all to live up to the full measure of the light of truth that has shone upon our pathway, that we may indeed give God all the honor possible by being obedient to Him from love, so that we don't become responsible for misleading others and causing them to blaspheme God's holy name. May we indeed allow our light to so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify God. Well, let us remember chapter 2, verse 13, when someone comes up to us and says that the law has been nailed to the cross and Christ has kept it for us and we don't have to. You can point them to that verse and quote Paul in saying, not those who know the law God will justify, but only those who keep the law will He justify. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And any who would like to begin, please do so, and I'll go ahead and close. So please go right ahead, dear ones.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for restoring Brother Willington's sound. I pray that it would hold, and all of ours would. Thank you so much for the fellowship of the saints and how you have guided and directed each one of us to the ministry here to learn more about you, to grow and be strengthened in our faith and in our love for you and for all men, that you be glorified through our lives. Thank you for the mercy in providing food for our souls in this way. In such a dark hour, you have not forgotten your people. You feed us, you lead us, you give us everything that we need in order to have the victory and honor you and give glory to you, and that souls, those souls who would choose to believe, may have eyes, their eyes opened, seeing Christ through Christ's people and Christ through his work, providentially through his people. Thank you so much, Lord. I pray you'd help each one of us to consider that each day is precious, to more fully consider, and help us to remember. Help us to not be slothful in any way in our striving to enter in our striving against sin. Help us to know that each moment of each day really matters, and each victory, because there are trials up ahead for each one of us, and this work of striving and mortifying through the Spirit as led by the Holy Spirit is paramount to victory. I pray you give us each one a sense of urgency and much grace in the living out of these things, in living in that sense of urgency, because we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. But we know that you do, and we know that we must rest in you and have peace in our hearts at all times, looking up always. So I pray you would bless each one here, Lord, and each person who comes to this fellowship and other similar fellowships, no matter how small, around this world, because your saints, your people, are scattered. And I pray you would, I especially want to remember them in bonds and them suffering adversity at this time, those who might be in prison, those who might be in a really difficult situation, a life and death situation, or very, very grievous, very sad, difficult situation. Lord, give much grace to our brother and sister in that situation, whoever they are around the world. You tell us to pray for them in bonds and them suffering adversity. So I just lift them up. I think of those in Russia and China and the Middle East, and those who don't have the comforts we have here, those in Africa. Sometimes I think the lack of any comforts makes you stronger in faith. Not necessarily, but as you look to the Lord in that neediness, it's a great blessing, because we're all to be poor and needy before you, poor in spirit and needy of grace and righteousness, knowing that we've never got all that's there. We want more. And we'll pray, give, Lord, give more faith, give more love to our hearts, which is just asking for Christ, more of Christ, to fill up every chamber of our heart, that self be destroyed in every chamber of the heart, and the whole heart be given to Christ. I pray you would build up Zion, build up your individual people who will make up that city, that glorious city, Zion. Build up your people, strengthen us, get your glory through our lives, I pray. And I pray for the situation at hand in my life right now and the specific thing you've directed me to do. Help me to honor you in this, even if it's suffering loss on my part, in order that Christ be seen. But it's no loss if it's gain of you in my heart. So help me not to fear and to do your will, and help us all for whatever needs each one of us may have. I pray for those sick, those in distress amongst us, those seriously seeking guidance for certain issues and certain concerns. I pray you to answer all these prayers according to your will, and help us to ever be pleased with your will, and always pray thy will be done after the end of our prayers in our heart. When we ask something, that we always add, but thy will be done, because we may be asking for something that is not your will and that is not best for us or for others. So may we hold on loosely to the things we pray and rest in you. And thank you so much for this meeting. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, I just want to add to that that we do love you. Help us to, before we do anything, always question whether this is going to be according to your will. We do want to obey your commandments and the basic principle under them, love to our fellow men, but especially love to you first. Give us discernment that we will know what we should do, that we can follow thee and rightly represent thee to those around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy watchful care, hearing and answering our prayers according to thy perfect will. And thank you for allowing us to gather together once again. We praise your holy name for the great love that you have manifested and continue to do so among all of thy people, and even the Gentiles, unbelievers, those who don't know about you, your love is manifested. Father, I pray that you will fill our hearts more and more completely with thy love until there is no room left, but just your love is there. Please let self die, that Christ may reign supreme. And thank you that we are a day closer to heaven and getting off of this wicked world. Father, I pray that thy truth will continue to fill this earth in a greater way with thy glory. And please forgive us for doing anything to bring dishonor to your holy name. Please reveal these wrongs, these defects within us, that we may acknowledge these, repent and confess these, and plead for cleansing from these, and the grace and strength to turn about and to follow a pathway that will bring glory and honor to your name. Forgive us for doing anything that has misled others away from following thee. And I pray, dear Father, that if this has been the case, please work in such a way that our misleading of them can be turned around and they instead can follow the pathway that leads to eternal life. For we don't want the blood of a single individual on our shoulders, and we don't want to bring more pain to our Savior who has already endured enough. And we thank you, Father, for pouring out thy Spirit And thank you, Spirit, for leading and guiding individuals, especially those who do not know about God and His law, leading them through their hearts to follow the will of God. Thank you for hearing and answering all of these prayers and for being with each one of us. And especially thank you for your comforting spirit. And thank you, Spirit, for the grace and strength to endure and not to deny the name of our Savior. Please keep us steadfast, immovable, fixed, and established in the faith, so that we will not be moved no matter what test, trial, tribulation, or persecution comes against us. For we love you, and thank you for loving us first and showing us how. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. A scripture song comes to mind. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the daughters of God. 1 John 3:1.
Well, I have a scripture song too. I'm especially asking the Lord for wisdom, and this is the verse that is kind of an admonishing warning verse to faith. And so it's James 1:5-8. It's actually those three verses. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. That was beautiful. A hymn came to mind. O brother, O sister, be faithful. And for those that know this, please feel free to take a verse. O brother, be faithful, soon Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long. O soon we shall enter our glorious home, and join in the conqueror's song. O sister, be faithful, for why should we prove unfaithful to him who has shown such deep, such unbounded and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own? O brother, Rather be faithful, the city of gold, prepared for the good and the blessed, is waiting its portals of pearl to unfold, and welcome thee into thy rest. Then, sister, be faithful, not long shall we stay in weariness here and forlorn. Time's dark night of sorrow is wearing away. We haste to the glorious morn. O brother, be faithful, he soon will descend. Creation's omnipotent King, while legions of angels his chariot attend, and palm wreaths of victory bring. O sister, be faithful, and soon shalt thou hear thy Savior pronounce the glad word. Well done, faithful servant, thy title is clear to enter the joy of thy Lord. O brother, be faithful, eternity's years shall tell for thy faithfulness now. When bright smiles of gladness shall scatter thy tears, a coronet gleam on thy brow. O sister, be faithful, the promise is sure that waits for the faithful and tried. To reign with the ransomed immortal and pure, and ever with Jesus abide. Dear ones, remain faithful, and soon this dark world will pass away, and will ever with Jesus abide. Before we close, are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any testimonies?
Just please pray for me for wisdom, clear guidance, and to do God's will through this, that he be glorified. Just, I know you're already doing that, but there's some specific things that I really need that for. Much grace, much hearing the Holy Spirit, much waiting upon the Lord and doing the Lord's will. And thank you very much.
Amen. We'll do so, dear sister, and please do the same for each one of us. And especially as this world grows more wicked, we need to be praying more and more that we grow more like the Lord, more like his lovely character, more humility, and more love. So we will indeed, and thank you so much for doing so for us as well. Dear ones, may God bless. It's been a privilege and an honor to be in fellowship with you again. And we look forward in just a couple days to being back in fellowship with you. And praise God that the internet problems here seem to be solved. And we continue to look to the Lord for his overruling providence in this, and thank you so much for your prayers as well. And our prayers are with you. And keep looking up and remain faithful, and soon our Lord Jesus Christ will come. I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.